One,
two,
three,
four.
Monster movie.
Fun time, go! Monster movie.
Fun time, go! Monster
movie.
Fun time,
go!
Monster movie.
Fun time, go!
With Precious D and Honey Bee.
Fun time, go!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends and neighbors, welcome to Monster Movie Funtime Go. I'm your host, Precious D. Friends, we had some technical difficulties this week while attempting to record our Reign of Fire episode. So rather than put out the poor quality thing we ended up with, we're just going to redo it. In the meantime, please enjoy this formerly Patreon exclusive episode about Flash Gordon. It's a little bit off our normal topic, but it's one of my favorite episodes, and hopefully we're going to be recording kind of a follow-up to it soon, so I wanted everybody to be able to hear it before that happens. We'll get to redoing our Reign of Fire episode as soon as possible and get that out to you within the next few days. Thank you for your patience. We'll take a little break and then enjoy the episode.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello and welcome, patrons. This is our first Patreon exclusive episode. There
Yay!
Was a previous one that was supposed to be our first, but we ended up having to use it.
Wah wah, sorry.
What we're doing for this first batch of exclusives is we are going through the song Science Fiction Double Feature from the show Rocky Horror Show and later Rocky Horror Picture Show. And we are taking a look at all the movies mentioned in the lyrics of that song. So the first movie mentioned is The Day the Earth Stood Still. But as I said, we had problems 1 week and we didn't have an episode, so I went ahead and released that one to the public. But this one will be a Patreon exclusive. Maybe at some point, if we get enough patrons, we will release it to the general public, but not for quite some time. We'll just see how that goes. So the second movie or science fiction character listed in the lyrics is Flash Gordon.
Woo! And Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Claude Rains was the invisible.
And Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Honeybee, I love Flash Gordon.
I can see why.
Flash Gordon is one of my things. Not quite as big of one of my things as like Superman, but it's one of my things. I mean, I haven't read every single Flash Gordon strip. I haven't watched every single episode of every single Flash Gordon show, but I recently spent quite a bit of money on a variety of sets of Flash Gordon action figures.
Okay.
This company, NECA, that makes collectible action figures for grown-ups because they cost too much to give them to a child, made four different versions of Flash Gordon figures. They all have the same basic sculpt, the same head and body, but varying costumes.
Yeah, Flash Gordon has a lot of costume changes, my friend.
Well, they made a version based on the original comic strip that's Flash and Ming. They made a version based on the 70s cartoon, which is Flash and Ming.
Nice.
Then they made a five-figure set based on Defenders of the Earth.
Flash, yeah.
Ming, Phantom, Mandrake, and Lothar. Oh, the original comic one does also have a Phantom figure, which I acquired that recently, which completed my entire set. That was the last one I needed.
Fuck yes.
Took me a while to find the Mandrake and Lothar too, because certain things claimed they were all released at the same time, but I think they were actually released later. Oh yeah, I went to Target because somebody, a friend, told me they'd seen him in there, and I find Lothar. You know, the people come in there and they throw stuff around, and it's all, you know, some poor employees organized it, and then the customers come and they fuck it all up. I find a couple of Lothars, and I'm like, come on, there's got to be a Mandrake. There's got to be a Mandrake. I find Mandrake laying on the floor. There's also a two-figure set, both of them together. These others are each sold individually. There's a two-figure set of the movie of Flash and Ming
that comes in a box.
It comes in a box with the logo, and it opens up. The flaps on the front open up, and that one is, you know, you have to buy them both together. So that's the most expensive one. Anyway. And I have some.
Anyway.
I have a couple figures from back then, like a Flash and a Phantom from Defenders of the Earth from when it first came out. Anyway, I love Flash Gordon.
Amazing. I'm not going to lie. I thought Flash Gordon was, like a Superman or Batman situation where, like, no one knew he was Flash Gordon. I'm not sure why I thought that, but I had never. Am I confusing him with someone?
Were you confusing him with the Flash?
Oh, maybe.
I have found sometimes I'm out in public wearing a The Flash t-shirt and people see it and they go, Flash! Ah! And I'm like, no, this is The Flash, not Flash Gordon, you fucking moron. And then I kicked him in the balls.
Damn it.
So I do think there is a certain amount of confusion in the general zeitgeist between The Flash and Flash Gordon.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, because I had never seen the 1980 movie, which cannot wait to dive into that with you. But yeah, I guess I just didn't realize that Flash was Flash Gordon and everyone knew he was Flash Gordon and he was like, you know, the dude.
Flash is like Flash is basically his nickname. He's a, originally he's a polo player.
Oh, I was just going to say jock, but yeah.
Yes, he's a jock, but in the comic strips it was polo. Although I think he maybe did a little bit, you know, he probably did some track and field and stuff too. There's a comic book version where he is a basketball player, obviously in the 80s movies. He's a football player. In the most recent version, he was a track star, which makes probably the most sense to call somebody that runs fast Flash.
Well, I actually, like, was wondering, like, I guess I never got the, like, fast part until he was a track star. Like, it doesn't seem like he really goes fast.
No. Yeah, I guess maybe... well, we don't see him go fast necessarily, but I guess a football player might be known for running fast, or I suppose a polo player might be known for riding fast. I'm not sure. Don't know if in the original version they ever tell us what his actual first name is. I do know a person whose given name on their birth certificate is Flash Gordon. Gordon's his middle name. I'm not going to out him, giving out his last name, but his parents named him Flash, middle name Gordon.
But if you know a guy named Flash, it's probably him, because how many guys are actually named Flash?
And his brother's name is Gunner Buck. And I was like, why Gunner Buck? Why not Buck Rogers? Why did you drop the ball there? Why did you... I don't know. Speaking of Buck Rogers, let's kind of get into a little bit of the history of Flash Gordon. Folks, this is going to be a little different from our normal procedure. Rather than doing like a scene-by-scene breakdown of one thing, we're kind of do an overview of all of Flash Gordon and then maybe talk about what parts we particularly like about particular versions, but we're not going to go through like the entirety of any one version.
Sure.
So in 1929, comic strip Buck Rogers came out. Mm. Written and created by Philip Francis Nolan, based on his own novella, Armageddon 2419, published a year earlier. This was such a big hit that everybody wanted their own version of Flash Gordon. So King Features Syndicate commissioned writer and artist Alex Raymond to create a similar character, and he came up with Flash Gordon, which first appeared in January 7th, 1934.
Wow.
So, without Buck Rogers, there's no Flash Gordon. Without Flash Gordon, there's no Star Wars. And there's so many other things that have been influenced by Flash Gordon. It's hard to quantify the influence of Flash Gordon.
That is so cool. I have to tell you that my only experience that I had with Flash Gordon, and this is really embarrassing, but have you ever seen the Ted movies?
I was going to ask you a minute ago if you had seen Ted, if you had any familiarity with Flash clips of Ted.
Yeah, that was it. So when I actually, so I watched, you know, the first episode of the original series and then the 1954 episode 9. And I never it never hit me until I put the movie on and it like does the thing, you know. Flash, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is the guy that does cocaine with like Ted.
Yeah. Yes.
And Mark Wahlberg.
And the movie did see a resurgence in popularity because of those appearances in Ted and Ted 2.
Oh my gosh, that is
and there's
hilarious.
there is even a DVD, like a double DVD set of Ted and Flash Gordon. Two disc
oh
set.
Oh my gosh,
with
really?
With a cover that has like the Flash Gordon poster, but Ted is in the place of Ming the Merciless on the cover.
Yes. Oh, I love it. Yeah, that's literally I was like, oh my gosh, it's that guy. I totally know who this is. Okay. So yeah, that was literally the only real experience I had.
Go back and watch Ted again and you can more appreciate
their excitement.
That, of course, is an exaggerated version of Sam Jones. I don't think he does cocaine. I'm not going to say he never did in his life, but I think he's a born-again Christian now and probably does not currently do it. Who knows what happened back in the 80s. So, 1934, Flash Gordon comes out in the newspaper. It's a newspaper comic strip. A year later, it's already on the radio. Although it seems like things had a tendency to get turned into radio or movies or movie serials a lot quicker. You don't see that quick of a turnaround these days. It takes a while for a hit book or comic or something to get turned. It might get optioned right away, but it takes a little longer for them to put out the product.
Uh-huh.
And then... So that was called The Amazing Planetary Adventures of Flash Gordon. 1936, only 2 years later, the first Flash Gordon movie serial is made, starring Buster Crabb.
And just to be clear, because the first time you ever said this, I was really confused. By serial, you mean like series, right?
Right. They were called serials. Because
yeah.
They were the word series and serial have the same root. Like serial killer, not serial with an S, not serial with a C.
Not serial with a C. Not like yes. Milk and cereal and milk.
Yes. This was a common thing before television. When you went to the movies, you would not just get a movie. You would often get two movies, a serial, an adventure serial of some kind, a cartoon. And maybe a short film, maybe a newsreel. So you could spend all day.
Wow.
One ticket. My mother would tell stories about, you know, buying a ticket for a nickel. Going to the theater with a quarter and getting a ticket and a popcorn and something to drink and spending all day at the theater.
That is so cool.
But they would have intermissions and stuff. And, you know, you'd go to the bathroom or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
Some people probably didn't stay for everything. So the serials were to get you coming back every week.
Brilliant.
Yeah. They would end with a cliffhanger and you'd have to come back the next week to see what happened next. The term cliffhanger comes from these serials where in some cases the person was literally hanging from a cliff and wow. you had to come back next week to see whether or not they fell off the cliff.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
So there's a lot. There was a Superman one. There's a Captain Marvel, who's now known as Shazam, Captain Marvel. Lots mm-hmm. of comic strips got turned into serials. Radio shows got turned into serials. There's Zorro ones. Some of them were original to the format, but The Shadow has been a serial. The Phantom has a serial.
Very cool.
We watched The Phantom, not for this podcast. We just watched it to watch it one day. So also a King Features Syndicate character also has had a serial. So Buster Crabbe was an Olympic swimming champion who then had a movie career. He played Flash Gordon. He also played Tarzan. He had his own comic book at one point, The Adventures wow. of Buster Crabbe, where he would, as himself, have these adventures all over the place. I read some of them online not too long
as
ago.
As himself.
Yeah, he's just Buster Crabbe. Hey, look, it's Buster Crabbe. Quick, help me, Buster.
So Larry that Buster is so cool.
Crabbe.
Larry Buster Crabbe. He is gorgeous. He's so pretty.
That's why a non-acting swimming athlete guy was able to have a film career, because he's a nice-looking fella.
He is a nice-looking fella. Him and Dale both in this. Oh, they were both. I was like, geez, my heart skipped a beat for a second. Like, wow, these people are so attractive.
Yeah, and I think they placed Dale in either the second or third serial. Buster made three serials. In 1938, Flash Gordon's trip to Mars. And then in 1939, Buster Crabbe plays Buck Rogers.
Hey!
I just find this so, you know, Flash Gordon was made to copy Buck Rogers.
Because of and then Buck Rogers, yeah.
He gets to the screen first, and then Flash plays Buck Rogers. Then in 1940, Flash Gordon conquers the universe. Buster Crabbe made a cameo appearance years later in the 1979 to 1981 Buck Rogers TV show.
Very cool.
And Sam Jones tells a story about meeting Buster Crabbe and Buster sort of passing the torch to him, giving him his blessing.
Larry.
To be the new Flash Gordon. And so then when a new show was coming out in 2007 and Sam had a cameo on that, he in mm-hmm. turn wanted to give the new guy his blessing.
Oh.
But it's pretty funny though. He tells, when he's telling the story and he's explaining to the guy how Buster Crabbe handed it to me and now I want to give you my blessing. And the guy's reaction seemed kind of weird. And then later he realized he was playing some sort of a creepy monster kind of guy. And he realized he was still in his full makeup when he was talking to the new Flash Gordon. And that maybe he was just kind of freaked out by the makeup and didn't quite know who was talking to him.
He's like, I want to pass the torch on to you. And the guy's just like, what?
And he's like, yeah, what are you talking about?
That's hilarious.
So, Flash Gordon, Dale Arden, Dr. Hans Zarkov, Earth is being attacked by something from outer space, and the three of them end up on a rocket ship to go confront the attacker from outer space, which turns out to be Ming the Merciless.
Ming, or as I like to call him, Space Eyebrows.
Ming is problematic at best.
Okay.
Did you not find him problematic, or were you not aware of why he's problematic?
I guess I'm not aware of why he's problematic.
He's Space Fu Manchu. And Fu Manchu is a literary character originating way back in 1912, who is kind of just a racist caricature of the embodiment of the yellow peril, the plotting, evil, conniving, tricky Asian.
Oopsie, I did not know.
Yes, so people in Europe and in America, there was a time when they were very concerned about what they called the yellow peril or the yellow threat. They were very concerned about Asians coming in and taking over.
Yeesh,
and a guy named Sax Rohmer created a series of books that kind of tapped into this fear. And the villain of the books was Dr. Fu Manchu, a criminal mastermind. The thing is, although it is does certainly it's racist. He tries to claim later it's not racist, and as the series goes on, it becomes less about Chinese evil and more about Fu Manchu's personal evil.
Uh-huh.
Although it is certainly racist, Fu Manchu at the same time is like the smartest man on the planet. So it's maybe not quite as cut and dried as racist or not racist. It's maybe a little more nuanced. In any case, though, Fu Manchu became a template for many other knockoff villains to follow.
Ew. And
Ming the Merciless is space Fu Manchu.
Boo. I just thought he was space douche nozzle.
Right, right. Well, the thing is, in the movie serial, they put a little eye makeup on him, but they don't put like prosthetics or anything to try to make the guy look too Asian. They don't go overboard with it, and he's not putting on an accent or anything like that. So he is a step away from Fu Manchu, but he walks a thin line. Ming walks a thin line, and different versions of Ming have tried to make him more alien, less Chinese looking and more alien looking to get away.
Yeah, I never got the only thing that I got like that was like Chinese out of it was Ming. And I didn't even think that was like Chinese. I thought that was like just space because he has like the eye makeup, like he has like a smoky eye. And
yes, Ming is a Chinese dynasty. And the planet Mongo is very similar to Mongol, which, Genghis Khan and that kind of thing, which is part of Mongolia, is part of China. So
it's definitely,
yeah, it's definitely, well, that's the thing. If you like old things like I do, there's going to be problematic elements because our ancestors were shit. some of my favorite dead authors were kind of racist old white guys, but because they're dead, let's just take the good parts and try to put the bad parts to the side.
Take what you like and leave the rest.
Yes. And though sometimes the authors may have been racist, it's debatable whether their final product itself was racist. Uh-huh. It's all, I don't know.
Interesting.
It's problematic. It's a problem. We don't have to just tear it up and throw it away, but we have to acknowledge it, just like we've been doing with these movies, with King Kong and with all those things. You know, we can just understand the context.
It's important to acknowledge. Mm-hmm.
So, I just wanted to address that Ming is a little problematic. It's also...
Damn it!
The thing is, Fu Manchu is portrayed with a very distinctive mustache that is taken on his name. It's called a Fu Manchu mustache. And Ming... Mm-hmm. has a Fu Manchu mustache. So that's the most obvious. When somebody shows up with that face hair.
With that face
they're
hair.
It's facial hair, I should say. They're clearly being mocked. You don't have that facial hair by accident. That's a choice. And they're clearly modeled after Fu Manchu. So, but in general, did you, you liked looking at... Buster Crabbe.
Oh, Buster. Yeah. Okay, so I thought he was gorgeous, but I didn't really like I only watched the first episode of the original series, and I didn't really get like, I was still like, okay, so he's a hot dude who can fight? Like, okay, like his dad was a genius and he's a hot dude who can fight. I really wasn't sure, like I didn't get really much a superhero like Flash Gordon out of the original series. And I don't know if that's just because I watched just the first episode or if he just hadn't like developed into that like character yet.
He is just a man with a man's courage. Nothing but a man, but he can never fail.
Yeah.
And you know why?
Why?
Because only the pure of heart can find the Golden Grail.
Whoa.
He's just a guy who's in the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the right time. Who's and a lot of those old kind of heroes were just dudes. They didn't have superpowers. They were just good at fighting. The thing is, he does get captured a lot. But that's part of the serial nature. He's got to get captured so he can escape. He can't win right away. You know, there's got to be obstacles. There's got to be
totally. Yeah, so by the end of the first original series, like, I was just like, ooh, okay, so Flash is like a hot dude who can fight. Got it. Like, I was still kind of like, maybe. Like, as I went through, you know, and started watching the other things, I was like, okay. You know, like, his costume starts, like, he's not just wearing, like, a jeans and a t-shirt. The next time, you know, he's, like, wearing the belt. Like, he, as he progresses through the years, it was like, okay, all right.
Well, and in that original series, he eventually grabs some Mongo clothes and puts them on. So he's wearing crazy outfits.
Yeah, he always has, like, a lot of costume changes. No one costume changes as much as Flash Gordon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear line. It's referring to this version of Flash Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Richard O'Brien is referring to this version of Flash Gordon in Rocky Horror Picture Show. Because this is the one you would have seen in the movie theater at the science fiction double feature.
Right.
That he's referring to.
Picture Show. Sorry.
So then, now the original comic strip is still published today. The comic strip ran in newspapers through 2003, but it's still, there's not new ones being produced, but it's still, reruns are basically still appearing in newspapers today. Some comic strips continue to, even though they end, they continue to run in reruns in the newspapers, like Peanuts. There hasn't been a new Peanuts strip in a couple decades now, but it continues to be published.
Right.
So there's also been, in addition to the visual versions we're going through, there have been numerous comic books that are, you know, set their own continuity separate from the daily comic strip and the Sunday strip. There's been two different role-playing games. One of them currently in print. One of them's from like the 70s that's hard to find and only had one book. Another one is currently in print that I paid a lot of money to kickstart. And have one of the books is autographed by Sam J. Jones.
Oh, very cool.
I got to meet him at one of the local Comic Cons and I got a picture, got a poster autographed, and I had him, he wrote the foreword to this role-playing game, so I had him autograph that book and I had him autograph it. Go, Dominic, go.
Cool.
So the next, I'm such a geek. The next version we get is in 1954 to 1955, Flash Gordon TV series starring Steve Holland.
Yeah.
We looked at one episode of this, a random episode, just because it had the best picture quality. You can find a lot of these on YouTube. You can find all this shit on YouTube, just about.
Totally.
This is my least favorite version.
Is it? Okay.
Because it's not Flash Gordon. It takes place in the year 3203, and Flash, Dale, and Zarkov are members of the GBI, the Galactic Bureau of Investigation.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Mongo. There's no Ming. It's more of a like a Rocky Jones Space Ranger kind of story, or which was another old movie serial. He might have been a TV show. He might have been both. It's more of a space patrol kind of thing than all the other versions of Flash Gordon. What did you think of it?
It's probably not my least favorite, but I'd say like second to least favorite. It wasn't great. There were things in it that I saw like in the other ones, like the air, when they pass out, they like have that moment. That one's in a lot, like from the air, you know, in space. We get all the like galaxy space bullshit. I do like the clay looking toys in this one. Like all the little toy planets and toy spaceships look clay, and I really liked that. But as far as like the acting and stuff goes, I'd say it was pretty far down on the scale for me. Definitely not my least favorite, but close to. I do like that we get the, like, alien possession in this one, which we see, like, later on, too, kind of. I guess I felt less confused in this one, like, 'cause we get to see Flash kind of, like, fight, even though it's mostly with Dale. But we get to see him fight, like, the fur man and stuff. And so I was like, okay, I was more, like, into, like, okay, he's just a dude doing dude things. Like, there's nothing, like, crazy to it. I also like that we see how kind of smart he is in this one. Like, we have that moment where he's, like, in the, like, little lab, like, doing all his smart guy stuff. So, I don't know. It was all right. Definitely not my favorite.
Now, the one thing about this version is it's a little less sexist than a lot of the other versions. In that
Dale kicks ass.
Yeah, we only watched, like, episode 9, as I say, because it had the best quality. But apparently throughout, Dale is less of a damsel in distress and takes a more active
role
in things and even rescues Flash on occasion. So it has that. But apart from the names of the characters, it has really nothing to do with the original Flash Gordon story. There's rocket ships, they're in space, but, you know, it's in the far future, and they're just out there doing space patrol shit. There was also a 1950 Buck Rogers TV show, just to mention in passing, that apparently only one episode of survives.
So
I feel in general that, I haven't looked for that, but I feel in general that Flash Gordon is more successful than Buck Rogers these days and better known, even though Buck was first. But there is sort of they kind of pop up around the same time often, but Flash has just been in more stuff.
Yeah.
The next version we get is 1979 to 1980 New Adventures of Flash Gordon. It's called in some places, but on the screen it's just called Flash Gordon. This is the animated one.
Yay!
By Filmation. It was originally going to be, they made a little TV movie, and then NBC said, oh, no, let's make it a series instead. They liked it so much, they said, let's make it a series.
Oh, cool.
So they re-edited it and added a bunch to it, and it turned into a two-season series.
Blasting off on a desperate mission to save Earth from the evil plottings of the tyrannical space lord Ming the Merciless. Dr. Hans Zarkov and Dale Arden have joined me, Flash Gordon, on a fantastic journey into worlds where peril and adventure await us.
This was on TV when I was a kid, but for some reason I only remember seeing it once. I don't know if my local station, I thought it was on NBC. I think it was a Saturday morning thing. And I remember wanting to see it. And I remember seeing toys in the store, including a big inflatable spaceship that they crashed in the opening credits. But for some reason, I don't know if it was on at the same time as some other show or what it was, but I can only remember seeing it like once. But maybe I just have bad memory and I watched it all the time. I don't know. The voice of Flash Gordon and of Barron is Robert Ridgely. And cartoon fans of a certain age will recognize his voice immediately.
Oh.
He also voiced Tarzan and Thundar the Barbarian.
Very cool.
Robert Ridgely and Buster Crabbe have both played both Tarzan and Flash Gordon. That's a
hell
fun coincidence.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to mention, though, the 1974 sex comedy parody, Flash Gordon.
Oh, wait, hold on. Before we get to the sex comedy parody. Oh, yeah, that is in 74 instead of 79. Dang, you're right. Yeah. That is first. Okay. Well, I was just going to say that the cartoon...
Go ahead.
Yeah, the 79 cartoon is, like, so good. I thought that the characters look great as far as, like, Flash being a hot blonde and all of that. We get the whole, like, entrance of the planet, blah, blah, save the world, blah-de-blah. But he really looks like a superhero in this. Like, he's kind of wearing more of, like, a superhero, like, tights kind of looking situation instead of, like, the jeans and the shirt, which I just really liked. And then we get this, like, lion dude. The Lion Man from this one. I thought it was so cool. Like, this lion is just like...
He's in the comic strip and he's in the movie serial, but if you only watched the first episode, you wouldn't
have met him. Yeah. Yeah, I had never met him. So this was like my first entrance to Lion Man.
Now, in the movie serial, Prince Thune just has a big beard and long hair because the budget was not that big. So they don't put a lot of prosthetics on him. But they do
they
still
couldn't
call
get
him
the
lion
to
Man.
Talk. Hell yeah.
The
yeah, it was really cool.
The Lion Man.
Yeah, and also the queen subjects were hot AF. All the chicks were like super hot in the cartoon. Like, I was like, okay. Walking around like in their little like pink bikinis and stuff. I was like, yes, all right. They were hot. I felt like the cartoon was really good. It was kind of like the first thing where I was like, fuck yeah.
Well, he does have more, I want to say more colorful costumes. They're not colorful, they're in black and white, but in the latest episodes of the serial, he's, you know, getting various outfits from Mongo, so there's things with symbols on them and decorations, and there's capes and there's blasters and, you know, all kinds of fun stuff. You just didn't get to any of that.
Yeah, I didn't.
You might want to go back and look at some of them later.
I'm gonna have to. Okay, sex parody it up.
Yeah, so 1974, a lot of people call it a porno. It's, I haven't seen the whole thing. It's hard. You can see the trailer on YouTube. It's hard to find. It's not something I'm inclined to pay money for a collector's DVD of. But in researching for this episode, I may have found it archived on the internet.
Oh my word.
So, it's called Flesh Gordon.
It's the only time we ever see Flash, or I guess Flesh in this case, wear a cape.
A Flash. Yeah, he's going around flashing everybody. It's filmed in 71, released in 74. They put a lot of effort into it, apparently, and a lot of the, they actually did like special effects and things and some stop motion Harryhausen type stuff, and a lot of the people that worked on it actually went on to, you know, work in the film industry, and it had an X rating from the Motion Picture Board, and then they re-edited it and got an R rating so they could get a wider release. But according to Wikipedia here, it appears that they did film hardcore scenes and then ran into legal troubles.
Ruh-roh.
Because in L.A. at the time, filming pornography was considered pandering.
Oh.
Or procuring.
My, how times have changed.
So all of that, almost all of that stuff was cut out.
Damn, what?
Depending on how you define pornography, there's certainly nudity in it. There's a lot of nudity in it. Mm-hmm. But it's not hardcore pornography in its final form. It's not at all. When I was able to see parts of it, it was not at all what I had been led to believe for all these years.
Well, maybe it was like a little more hardcore for the 70s, a little less hardcore for 2022, but maybe in the 70s it was a little bit more hardcore.
Well, I mean, I guess there was more explicit stuff, but as I said, it all ended up getting cut.
Boo.
But, you know, it's supposed to be a comedy, but those kind of things are never really actually funny. But they put a lot. Oh, but the Ming, Emperor Wang. Of the planet porno. Emperor Wang of the planet porno is just straight up racist in this version.
Aw, boo.
He's, like, wearing yellow makeup, and they... Flash uses some ethnic slurs when he fights him, and his eyes have been all... He's wearing prosthetics on his eyes and yellow makeup, and he is just a straight-up racist caricature And Prince Baron is Prince Precious, who is a very gay caricature. And, you know, it's 1971 and nobody cared about being... Uh-huh. And it's a pornography, so nobody cared about being sensitive in any way to anybody or anything.
Yeah.
So not actually recommending anybody go watch this thing. I'm just saying this is one of the many versions that we've seen. This is the reach of influence of Flash Gordon.
I'm glad that you included it because the 1980s feature film. I don't know if this is TMI, and please, if it is, cut it out. But this movie is like fucking sexy. Like, this is like, if I would have watched Flash Gordon 1980 film as a kid, I 100% would have masturbated to it. It's so kinky. The whole movie. It's so hot. The whole movie is so hot.
It's a very horny movie.
Ugh, I was like, oh my god. Oh my god. Like, it was, I was like, holy shit. Now I know why Flash Gordon is one of your things. Yeah. So, I think he's one of mine too.
Okay, so let's back up for a second. Filmation 1979 to 1980. I'm going to mention in passing that there was a Buck Rogers movie/TV show from 1979 to 1981. So we're getting some more crossover happening at the same time here between Buck and Flash.
Uh-huh.
It was a TV show, but then the pilot movie was released in theaters and then cut up into separate episodes and put back on television. And that ran for 2 seasons, starred Gil Gerard and Aaron Gray. And it's very late 70s, early 80s. There's like disco in it and shit.
Hot.
And then we get to 1980 Flash Gordon.
Ooh, yowza. God, yes. Tell me. What is her name? Please, for this the love is my, of God, tell me.
which one? The princess?
The princess. Yeah.
Or Dale?
No, fuck Dale. The princess.
That'd be... plenty of time for that later. Ornella Muti plays Princess Aura in this version. Watching this version, then going back and looking at the original, Dale in the original is pretty hot. Princess Aura in the original does not compare to either Dale or this version. Or even really the cartoon. Ugh. I think she's just a bad actress, partly, in the original. She's kind of maybe one of the worst actors in the serial.
Never got to her.
I was 12 when it came out. I had a general... I mean, I'd seen some of that cartoon. I knew that Buster Crabbe was Flash Gordon in the serials. I don't know how many of them I would have ever actually seen, because we didn't have YouTube. You couldn't just go watch whatever the hell you wanted. But, you know, I had a... general idea who Flash Gordon was, and I knew I liked Flash Gordon, and I was excited to see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Dino De Laurentiis, a film producer, has, I don't know how he had the rights to Flash Gordon, but apparently he had the film rights for some time. George Lucas wanted to make Flash Gordon, could not get the rights from Dino De Laurentiis, so he went off and made Star Wars instead. That's why without Flash, there's no Star Wars. And you can see, you know, the opening crawl of Star Wars is like in an old movie serial. They all have those opening crawls like that, or at least title cards. The side screen wipes in Star Wars are from those old movie serials.
Uh-huh.
There's no Star Wars without Flash Gordon. And then Federico Fellini got the rights from him to make a film, but never ended up making it. But you might not have noticed Aura's little... pet dwarf is named Fellini.
Oh gosh, I've never wanted to be a pet dwarf so bad in my life.
That's a little in joke about the director Fellini.
Nice.
This movie to me is, at least up so far, the ultimate version of Flash Gordon.
I agree 1,000%.
I don't know why there wasn't a sequel. There should have been. Maybe it just, I mean, it was a hit, but maybe not big enough of a hit. Part of it might have had to do with Sam Jones.
Hey.
Did you have any issues with his performance?
In the beginning, I was kind of like a little disappointed. But as the movie went on, I felt like it got better. You know what I mean?
Well,
like in the beginning, I was kind of like, I feel like he's not hot enough, but that's just my damn dirty opinion no one asked for.
No, what I mean is, okay, so I always felt like he was just the slightest bit off, and I only found out recently that part of the issue is that Sam Jones had some sort of dispute, conflict with De Laurentiis, and walked off the film before principal photography was finished.
Oh.
So his lines are all dubbed by another actor.
Whoa.
Because, you know, you got to go back and do ADR and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily always have to ADR the whole film, but you got to have it match. And if your lead actor's not there to do his ADR, then you're just going to make it match. You're going to want to dub all of his lines to make sure it matches. So according to people who were in the film, and according to this documentary, Life After Flash, his performance is much better than it appears to be in the finished product.
Aww.
And the general feeling of the people who were involved in the production is that it's a real shame that his whole performance is not seen and not captured. It would have been just a little bit better. And I don't know what the exact nature of the dispute was, but I think that may have affected his overall career post-Flash. It may not have been as big as it could have been.
Ah, damn.
It might have something to do with there never being a sequel, because De Laurentiis is probably not going to want to hire him back.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's not worth the effort of getting another guy, but does the audience want to see another guy? He did do other things, and I've seen most of those other things, I think. He was in a version of The Spirit. He had a, I don't even remember what the thing was called, but he had a science fiction TV show pilot that didn't take off.
Oh, fuck.
He was very nice when I met him, but there is a whole documentary that is a little bit, it's a little bit documentary about the making of the film, and it's a little bit documentary about Sam Jones and his career after the film.
Did it say if he had a cocaine problem or? No, I'm just kidding.
I can't. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I do think that, like I said, he's kind of a born again Christian now. But I think that was a more recent. I think he might have gone through some.
You can be a Christian and still do cocaine.
I'm saying
you
that
shouldn't.
Might be.
I'm just saying it happens.
Part of that might be putting himself back together.
Yeah, maybe.
It's been. Yeah, I don't know. It's been. I don't want to. I can't remember all the details of the documentary. It's called Life After Flash.
Look it up.
It's available as a Blu-ray, but also if you buy the 4K Ultra HD version of Flash Gordon, it comes as a bonus disc with it.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
So I now own it twice.
Damn.
If I had known it was going to be included as a bonus disc later, I wouldn't have bought it separately as a Blu-ray. Okay,
that's
anyway,
how they get ya.
Back to this movie. The other
this
people in this
movie. Amazing
movie. Melody Anderson is Dale Arden. I had such a crush on her.
She looks like the knockoff Barbie doll, like not Mattel brand, but in the 90s there was that Barbie doll that you could get at like Dollar General who had like the kind of the similar hair, and her skin was like just a little bit darker of a color, and it was just like an off Barbie, like a cheaper Barbie. She's so pretty, but she really reminds me of that. Like, she looks like the life version of that. She's so pretty.
Okay. I think now I have a greater appreciation for Ornella Moody than I do of Melody Anderson. But at the time, I liked Dale better.
Yeah, fuck Dale.
Max von Sydow plays Emperor Ming. Max von Sydow is... I don't know if you've seen him in anything, but he's a real actor. This was like kind of a, I feel, a big deal for them to get him. He is of Swedish and French extraction and has made a lot of European films as well as been in American films and been in like, you know, artsy things. And I think he's even played Jesus Christ.
Oh.
It shows that even though this is a campy colorful, goofy, fun movie, it also shows that they're taking it seriously by getting Max von Sydow to play. They're not stinting. Topol is Hans Zarkov. Topol is best known, I think even after this, is best known for playing Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, okay. He's really pretty too. I was like, oh, the doctor's kind of hot. He has a really great nose. I was like, ooh, la la.
Have you seen?
I've seen it about a bajillion times, like on stage, but I have not actually
seen the movie.
No.
Watch a few. The thing is, he's younger, but he's a little heavier and scruffier looking in Fiddler on the Roof. But he has a very distinctive voice.
Yeah, he does.
So you might not recognize him immediately by looking at him, but as soon as you start talking, you're like, hey, wait a minute.
Hey, I know that guy.
Is that Tevye? As we mentioned, Orella Muti is Princess Aura. I don't really know her from anything else other than this. And
oh, good Lord.
She's described as an Italian actress. I think she might have been mostly in Italian films. Timothy Dalton, a future James Bond, is Prince Barry.
I was like, I know that name.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of things. He was only in two Bond movies, and they are the worst Bond movies.
Aww. Wah, wah.
But it's not at all his fault.
Oh, well, that's good.
It's the scripts. It's not his fault. But he's done a lot of stuff since then.
Mm-hmm.
Most recently, he was in the Doom Patrol. And he's been on Doctor Who. He's was in The Beautician and the Beast.
Okay.
With Fran Drescher.
Oh.
Playing a little dictator of a small country. I love Timothy Dalton, but most of the things I love him most for are his non James Bond stuff.
Nice.
So he's great, and he's just perfect as Prince Baron.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
Prince Baron in the original comic strip and in most of the other versions is a very Robin Hood looking kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, they did not go that direction in the Buster Crab version. I don't think you wouldn't have seen him watching the first episode, but he is a bigger, kind of doughy looking bald guy. You don't realize he's bald until much later. He takes his helmet off. He's wearing a helmet most of the time. And I think he's kind of in disguise as one of Ming's guards, and he helps free Flash. I don't know. He just does. He doesn't have the mustache. He's not wearing any sort of an Errol Flynn, Robin Hoodie sort of outfit in that version. I think it's just because I feel like a lot of the costumes in the Buster Crab version are things the studio already had from other productions.
Yeah, because
a lot of the times
simple.
They're just wearing straight up medieval armor and shit. Timothy Dalton was the voice of Mr. Pickle Pants in some Toy Story stuff.
Aww.
Prickle Pants. Mr. Prickle Pants. I was trying to see
the
most recent.
That is. I'm trying.
I'm not sure either, but.
Weird.
He plays Peter Townsend in The Crown. Yeah. The Crown and the Doom Patrol are his most recent things. Okay, let's get back to who the other awesome people that are in this movie.
Uh-huh.
Brian Blessed is Prince Voltan. Brian Blessed, I mean, you've seen him in stuff, but he is much bigger in the UK than he is here.
Oh, okay.
When it was time for Britain to hand Hong Kong back over to the Chinese, they had like a 90-year lease on the city of Hong Kong. I don't know if you know any of this history.
I don't. No.
Hong Kong was kind of part of Britain for maybe even longer than 90 years, for a long time. But it was a lease, and they always knew that at this time it'll have to go back to China. Mm-hmm. And in between the beginning of the lease and that time, there was a communist revolution in China.
Oh shit.
So turning the free city of Hong Kong, the capitalist city of Hong Kong, back over to communist China became an issue that nobody anticipated. Ooh. When the deal was first made. But in any event, when it was time for that to happen, Brian Blessed was chosen as the man to preside over the ceremony. He was like the MC of the turning over ceremony. That's how big of a deal he is in Britain.
Damn.
The Queen of England was a fan of this movie.
Aww.
And when she met Brian Blessed, she said to him, "Oh, we just love Flash Gordon. We watch it all the time. Would you mind saying for me your line, 'Gordon's alive'?" Which of course he did. Apparently that is like the most popular, most quoted line from the movie is, "Gordon's alive?"
Wow, that's such a cool story.
Yeah. Well, he tells that story on Life After Flash, which is available on Blu-ray and as a bonus disc on the 4K version of Flash Gordon. But that's Brian Blessed was, sadly, plays Boss Nass in Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
Wow.
When I first heard he was going to be in the new Star Wars movie, I was very excited. And then when I saw the final product, I was very disappointed.
Oh, you're like, what the hell? That's it?
Yeah. Peter Wingard was General Clytus. Mariangela Melato was General Kala. That was the S&M lady in the black outfit.
Uh-huh.
Now, the reason we're talking about this movie is because it is mentioned in the song Science Fiction Double Feature from Rocky Horror Picture Show. Did you spot the Rocky Horror Picture Show connection in this movie? Did you notice?
I mean, I just figured it was because the movie was about space babes and sexy things, and connection.
There is a direct... Now, remember, Rocky Horror was before this movie. There is a direct connection, though, between this movie and the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
What is it?
Richard O'Brien, creator and writer of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, who plays Riff Raff, is in this movie.
Oh.
He plays Fico. He's one of the Arborians, one of the tree guys, the bald one that plays the flute. He only has a few lines. You kind of see him standing around with the other guys, but then he has a few lines where he and Prince Baron are talking in the jungle. Uh-huh. And he's kind of, he's talking to him about his relationship with Princess Aura and what is he going to do with Flash. And uh-huh. Are you sure you want to do that? Isn't the princess going to be pissed off at you if you do that? That's uh-huh. Richard O'Brien. He's in, and I suppose that was probably pretty exciting for him.
Cool.
He's like, "I'm in Flash Gordon. I sang about Flash Gordon, and now here I am in Flash Gordon." Yeah, it goes by pretty quickly. There's other people in this. That's Kenny Baker is in it as one of the dwarves. Kenny Baker played R2-D2 in Star Wars.
Oh, uh-huh.
Deep Shout Roy out. Plays Fellini, the pet dwarf. Deep uh-huh. Roy was in that really bad version of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's all the Oompa Loompas in that version.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Robbie Coltrane, who later was rather famous and in a James Bond movie, but not with Timothy Dalton, is Man at Airfield. He has no lines. If you blink, you'll miss him. He just closes the door on the airplane when they're getting on. Honeybee, I think you've already indicated this, but what did you think of this version of Flash Gordon?
God. Well, this, as my brother said, I will just quote him because it pretty much sums it up, is this is the kinkiest feature film I've ever seen.
This is a movie for children, and it is so, so horny.
It does not feel like a movie for children.
It's not for adults. But
it's fucking hot. It is a sexy movie. There is a lot of hot, sexy shit in it.
I'm trying to see what the rating was, because it might have been PG. Where is it?
Also, I feel like this is a movie that you could, like, totally trip to. Because, like, there's so many, like, colorful skies and, like, all this crazy. I'm like, if I would have seen this movie as a kid, man, I would have been doing drugs,
How stoned were you when you watched it?
I mean, like, you know, like a normal, just like normal, a normal, just normal level of stoned.
Not really stoned.
Yeah. I thought it was also really cool that Queen did the music. Like, how badass do you have to be for Queen to do the music? Like, come on.
I owned this soundtrack on vinyl. I think I own it again on vinyl. I can't remember if I found my old recording or if I bought a new one. I believe I've owned it on CD as well. I don't know if I currently have a CD of it. It is freaking awesome.
So awesome.
Of course, that theme song is just iconic. And the whole PG. Okay, it was rated PG.
PG? Parental Are you kidding guidance. Me?
PG is parental guidance suggested.
There's entire dungeon scenes.
But there's no nudity. There's no swearing. There's no real blood.
That's not what it is. It's like the whipping and the, I don't know.
Right, but that's all, you know, if you're a kid.
That's all appropriate?
I don't know if I'd say appropriate, but if you're a kid, it kind of goes over your head. You don't see it as anything sexual.
Ugh. Oof.
There is some kissing. There's some skin. You know, some of the outfits are little, but it's parental guidance. G is general, all audiences. But this is before, I believe, the PG-13 rating existed.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have actual boobs and swearing to get an R, or much more violent, much more realistic violence. But back then, even in a PG movie, you might get an occasional boob. Because PG-13 did not exist.
Because it's
parental guidance. Parental guidance. Parents should think twice before they drop their kids off at the theater to see.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a parent watching this, I'd be like, let's go make another baby. Tie me up in the dungeon and make me wear that mask you like. It's just a very sexy movie. Like, there's hair pulling and like choking, and like it was hot. It was like very BDSM. Like, I was like, holy shit.
It's not like Princess Aura is enjoying the whipping that she's getting. She's pretty upset about it.
I was enjoying the whipping she was getting. That's the problem.
The people doing the whipping are clearly enjoying it, but she's not enjoying receiving that whipping.
Which may make it hotter, it's debatable.
It appears she did not have a safe word. There is definitely inappropriateness implied between Ming and his daughter, Aura, but not explicitly stated. Okay, so as I say, we're not going to do a scene-by-scene breakdown of this movie, but this is, it's so colorful. There's so many colorful. Good people, so good. The costumes are just amazing. The effects.
Fantastic.
For the time period, you know, you look at it now and you can see the blue screen and, you know, you can't see the wires like you could in the Buster Crab version, but for the time, the effects were as good as they get. Maybe not quite as good as some of the Star Wars, but they're pretty good. And just the things they do with the you know, the sky on Mongo.
So cool. I love it.
Some of the stuff's a little weird. Mongo traditionally is a planet, a rogue planet, and there's different kingdoms of Mongo. In this movie, Mongo is a interplanetary empire? That's a little unclear. It seems like the kingdoms are on different moons of Mongo, but at one point they pass a couple of chunks of rock, and or Flash asks what that is, and Aura says it's a planet, the planet something, that they implying that Ming destroyed it. Was a planet and Ming destroyed it.
Yeah.
So the astronomy, the the astrophysics in this movie. I mean, it never makes any sense. How is Mongo? Rogue planets normally would have a problem holding on to their atmosphere or being warm enough. They're not going to be close enough to a sun, so everything's going to freeze to death. But you know, who knows? Who knows what sort of magic or technology Ming uses to keep Mongo from and Mongoans from freezing to death? But in some versions, it seems like Mongo's going to crash into Earth. In this one, Mongo's going to crash our moon into Earth. I don't want to get. I love this movie, but there's parts of it that just don't make sense.
Yeah, I felt the same way, and I absolutely loved it. I just thought it was so amazing. I can't believe I hadn't seen it sooner. And when I first started, I was like, dang, this is kind of long. It's like, because usually it's like our movies are like an hour and 20 minutes, hour 30 minutes. This is about 2 hours. But I never felt like it was like just dry, like just drowning on, or I never felt like I was tired of it, or you know what I mean? It's so good. Yeah. I loved it. I loved it so much.
I couldn't tell you how many times I've seen this movie, because it's one of those things that after it was in theaters, then it was on HBO and other things. And I would, you know, if it was on, I'd watch it. Uh-huh. You know, back in the day when you just had to watch what came on when it came on. So you might be changing the channel and be halfway. Well, just like in Ted, they're changing the channel and they're like, oh, Flash Gordon's on. They come in halfway through and they sit there and watch the rest of the movie. That was me. This was one of those movies where if it came on, we would watch it. So I have no idea how many times I've seen this movie. Here's the thing I told you the other day. I noticed after all the times I've seen it, I noticed something I'd never noticed before.
Oh, tell me.
In the other versions, most versions of Flash Gordon, Prince Thun, Prince of the Lion Men, is the first ally that Flash makes.
Mm-hmm.
Then he makes friends with, you know, then he recruits Prince Baron and Prince Voltan. But he always runs into Prince Thun first and makes friends with him first. And after watching some other versions, I was like, why aren't the Lion Men in the 1980s version? There's Lizard Men. They're just in the background. Nobody talks about them, but they're there. There's a dwarven kingdom on Mongo, and there's dwarves. We don't talk about them, but there are dwarves in the movie. In the throne room scene, the opening throne room scene, the guy, the black guy in the gold outfit, he's Prince Thun. I never noticed. I guess his name just went by me. And they call him the Prince of Ardentia.
Now the tributes from Ardentia.
Your Majesty, we the people of Ardentia, we have suffered since you blasted our kingdom. I can offer you nothing this year except my loyalty.
Prince Thun, we prize nothing more highly. And tell us, how great is this loyalty to your emperor?
Without measure.
We are delighted to hear it. Fall on your sword.
Show us this loyalty. Throw yourself onto your sword.
May this deed of Prince Thun be an example to all the kingdoms of Mongo! Death to me!
And gets frozen and presumably is killed.
Uh-huh.
But he says, I never noticed this before. He says, I, Prince Thun, whatever. And I was, and as I was watching it this time, I was like, oh my God, how did I never realize? The thing is, he's not dressed. For some reason, they've decided that lion men equal Africans. Because this delegation is all black people in gold, but their outfits sort of suggest African costumes, traditional African dress, even though they're completely gold in color. They're meant to imply Africa. So even though he gets taken out of the picture right away, he is the first one to resist Ming's tyranny in this version as well. But being the black guy, he has to die first.
Boo!
Because it's a fucking movie. That guy is George Harris. He played Kingsley Shacklebolt in the Harry Potter movies.
Oh, nice.
So he's done, certainly done other things after this as well. But that's not all. We're not done with Flash Gordon. There are more Flash Gordons after that. But that is the pinnacle so far of Flash Gordon.
Yeah, for sure. I have to agree 100%. Even though the guy, like you said, it's like a little tiny bit off in comparison to the things that came before it, especially like the comic book, you know, in the comic book, I feel like, and in the cartoon, kind of those versions, he's very like, aha, la 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 la, and he's more kind of silly and more like of a just a regular dude in this version. But yeah, definitely the pinnacle. I agree. It's so good. And while we're here, and you mentioned the lizard people, I loved the lizard people's masks. They were so good. I loved lizard people.
I always found them really weird. Because it's like their faces are inside of their mouths.
Yeah, totally. I'm like, it's so
what?
Good.
What? Just to me, that makes them look like costumes.
I loved it because it's like we're in space. They're like space lizards.
Next, we have. I didn't tell you to watch this. I'll explain why in a minute. 1982, Flash Gordon: The Greatest Adventure of Them All. So I mentioned that the 79 version was supposed to be a TV movie. And they turned it into a series. Uh-huh. After that, they decided, maybe partly because of the theatrical movie, they decided to restore the original TV film version of the cartoon. So they went back, after cutting it up and turning it into a series, they went back and pieced it back together, restored the original soundtrack because they changed some of the voices and stuff. And in that version, it's set during World War II. There's a scene at the beginning of the movie where I think Warsaw is being bombed by the Nazis. And there's some stuff about Ming secretly supplying Hitler and things like that. They cut all that stuff out of the series version. But they put it all back in for this version. And it was shown on television once.
Wow.
I think I say that, but I feel like I saw at least part of this really late at night one time. So it may have been reshown a couple of times. It's just like a late night movie, but it wasn't shown like in prime time on NBC more than once. There's not been an official video or DVD release of this version. You can find it on YouTube, but the quality's not great because it's like somebody just, you know, recorded it off of the TV with the VCR. Some people think this is the best version in that it's a little more, because of the Nazi stuff, it's a little more serious than the Saturday morning version. And it's a little more straight up adaptation of the original comic strip than the 80s movie. And I think treats the whole thing just a little more seriously, even though it's just a cartoon, a little more seriously than the 80s version. For me, the quality of the animation, although it's relatively good for the time, it's still a TV production. The animation's not quite good enough for me to call this the best version of Flash Gordon, but it's a pretty good one.
Nice.
Then in 1986, we have Defenders of the Earth.
Defenders of the Earth.
Defenders of the Earth. Defenders.
They're like Avengers, but they're Defenders of the Earth.
It's the Avengers or Justice League version of Flash Gordon, where he teams up with several other King's Features Syndicate characters.
And he has a whole ass family in this version. Yes. He has a son who looks like a grown ass man, but apparently is in high school, mark? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And goes to a high school for superheroes, where all of their parents know each other and are also superheroes.
Well, he had a whole family, but he loses Dale.
Yeah.
Dale gets killed by Ming and then kind of turned into a computer program by Flash's son. He bases the computer program on here. So this features Flash Gordon.
Out of the sky, his rockets ignite. Gets into battle light faster than light.
Flash Gordon.
The Phantom.
Lord of the jungle, the hero who stalks. The beasts call him brother, the ghost who walks.
Phantom.
Defenders of the Earth.
Defenders.
Mandrake.
master of magic spells and illusion. Enemies crumble in fear and confusion. And drink.
Defenders of the Earth.
Defenders.
And Lothar.
His strength is a legend. His skills conquer all. Armed with his power, we never will fall.
Lothar.
Defenders of the Earth.
Defenders.
Mandrake the Magician. We haven't looked at him at all. You and I have watched The Phantom. Mandrake doesn't have a feature film like some of these other guys. Originally, Lothar was Mandrake's sidekick. But in Defenders of the Earth, they make him more of his own character. He's on an equal level with the other three guys. He's presented as being on an equal level with them rather than just being Mandrake's servant or whatever. Mandrake's muscle. So they make him much more action hero of his own. And the children or adopted children of these various characters, Flash's actual son, Phantom's actual daughter, Lothar's son, and then Mandrake has an adopted kid that he found on the street or something.
With our new young heroes proving their worth, 4 become 8. Defending the Earth!
Defenders of the Earth!
Defenders!
Defenders of the Earth!
But they all team up to defend the Earth from Ming.
Like you do.
Ming is very green. As I mentioned, we try to get away from the Ming being a Chinese stereotype. So he's very green in this version to make it clear he's an alien. He's got pointed ears. He has pointed ears in some of the cartoon and comic versions. He's got pointed ears, making him more clearly an alien.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of this one?
I did like it okay. I thought it was like I said, just kind of funny that it was like, when he was like, my wife and son are prisoners of Ming the Merciless, and I came to warn you. And when I am thinking son, I was like, oh no, like, oh, they had a baby, and like, now it's this little, and then it's like, goes to the son, and he's like, hey, mom, don't worry, I'm not gonna, and I was like, oh, shit, like, that's a grown-ass man. And then, like, him and LJ going to the same school, and, like, their dads being, like, the superhero. I was like, is this a school for superheroes? Like, what? Because all the kids are just, like, have these, like, one has, like, a cat that she's, like, talking to and, like, has superpowers. And then I was just like, okay, cool. Like, it's I enjoyed it. I liked it. I liked the Defenders of the Earth thing. I liked how at the end they were like, we will forever be known as the Defenders of the Earth. And it was like, oh, wow. Like guitar shit. It was like cool. So I did enjoy it, but I definitely was a little kind of, I feel like I was a little thrown off by like the family dynamic of it, I guess. Going from like the sexy ass like 1980s movie, like the sexy BDSM thing, to like now this like, we're a family, we are doing family shit, superheroes, woo, was just kind of like, oh, okay, you know. It was good though. I liked it. All right,
I just remember when it came out being very excited by the whole idea of all of these characters teaming up,
being together. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I just thought that was great. The very first animated appearance of Flash Gordon, I forgot to mention, is not in his own thing. It's just as part of, there's a cartoon movie, TV movie, called Popeye Meets or Popeye Versus the Man Who Hated Laughter.
Oh.
And it features pretty much, I mean, it's mostly a Popeye movie, but it includes almost every character owned by King Features Syndicate at the time. So it's got appearances by Popeye, Snuffy Smith, and Barney Google, Beetle Bailey, Blondie and Dagwood, in addition to Flash Gordon and the Phantom and Mandrake. In this cartoon, all of these cartoon characters exist in the same world as real people. And this guy that hates laughter is, I think, kidnapping all of them.
Oh.
And it's up to Popeye to save them. I think I saw this when I was a little kid. It is on YouTube, and I watched a few minutes of it just to see what Flash looked like, but and he looks like shit.
But
I've not rewatched the whole thing. Okay, after Defenders of the Earth, we get 1996, another cartoon just called Flash Gordon.
This is the first thing that I was alive for. And I could really tell because the animation and all of the colors were so nostalgic. I feel like every cartoon kind of looked like this cartoon at the time in 96. I would have been like five. Like it was very like Transformers. You remember the Transformers cartoon? It was like very similar animation.
Right.
And yeah, it was cool.
Even though you hadn't seen it, you just sort of recognized
it's like animation and the colors especially like this is definitely like Flashback Gordon, you know what I mean?
What did you think of it?
I felt like it was very 90s in that like cheesy way. I kind of hated how Alex Gordon, was that his name, Alex? I kind of hated how like goofy kid he was. And why was he wearing a crop top?
Because it was his, the 90s.
Yeah, his crop. I was like, okay. But yeah, I mean, I liked it in a sense of like, I just recognize things in it. Like, it's very like, oh, this is when I was a kid, you know? And like, so it just kind of reminded me a lot of things. But I would say as far as like Flash Gordon goes, I didn't really like how like goofy and silly the kid was. But this is the first thing that I did like Dale's character in, because she's kind of a little bit cooler and like a little bit less just annoying. I feel like she's really annoying.
Also, just doesn't like Flash. She fucking...
Yeah, maybe that's why I like her. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like she's kind of annoying in the other versions, and this one I kind of liked her in. But there were definitely things I was like, things I didn't like about it and things I definitely did like about it. But as far as like Flash Gordon goes, like you said, 1980s is kind of the pinnacle, so this kind of doesn't really hold up. But they do keep a lot of things that are important and stuff like that. You can tell where a lot of the inspiration for certain things comes from. You know what I mean? Like they keep a lot of the important shit. But
So I was 28 when this came out.
Mm.
I was like, oh, there's a new Flash Gordon cartoon. Great. I turn it on. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's a skateboarding teenager who's all, you know, radical and dude, he's all Ninja Turtle, and just.
Yeah, totally.
And I thought the animation style was ugly. Oh, I just fucking hated this one. I was like, oh my God, yes, okay, there's Flash, there's Dale, there's possibly the worst Zarkov, and there's Ming, but goddamn it, he's a fucking teenager and he rides a skateboard and later a hoverboard, ooh, because it's space, and I fucking hated this version.
Watching it again now,
I'm like, okay, it's not just that bad. The quality of it is not quite as bad as I remember. It's just, it wasn't made for me. It was made for children who were children in the 90s. It was made for kids who were kids at that specific time.
Shout out.
It was not made to indulge my sense of nostalgia. It was made to entertain children in 1996.
Totally.
But it only lasted one season for a reason. Because it's not that good. Ugh.
For sure. It's like your kid's Flash Gordon. Like, if you had kids, it'd be like their, like, Flash Gordon that they grew, like, were seeing for the first time or whatever.
The next one we get is 2007 live-action Flash Gordon from the Sci-Fi Channel, starring Eric Johnson, who played Whitney on Smallville in 2001. But now it's 2007 and he's got his own show. Honeybee, what did you think of this one?
This is my least favorite. It's my least favorite, and it reminds me of a show. It was a Disney... Okay, it wasn't a Disney show, I don't think, but it was a show that was about, like, Disney stories, but there was, like, 18,000 seasons of it. What is it called? Once Upon a Time, maybe?
Yes.
Does that sound right? Okay.
There is a...
It's very much, like, that quality of show. Ugh. It's very drawn out. The acting is very, like, acting! You know what I mean? Like, it's not, like...
Yeah.
It's just very like, I am an actor now and this is my line, hair flip. I don't know. It was just kind of like a little too cheesy for me, like corny. Like when he's like running the marathon or whatever, and they're like playing the music in the background and just like, I was like, ugh. Like Flash Gordon's a badass and this guy kind of, it's not the guy, like the actor, but just this version is kind of lame.
Yes.
It's so fucking lame.
If it weren't for the 1950s version, this would be my least favorite.
Yeah, this is my least favorite.
It's just because, you know, they departed so far from the source material in the 1950s version.
Mm-hmm.
This one is at least has the planet Mongo and Ming in it.
Yeah.
But this is the same situation as the cartoon in that... There's a new Flash Gordon TV show. The commercials used the Queen song in the teasers, the commercial teasers. In the show itself, but they would play that little bump, 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 and they'd throw the logo up there and the Flash. And I'm like, oh shit, Sci-Fi Channel, new weekly Flash Gordon show. And then it comes on and I'm like, what the fuck is this? There's no space, it's just a portal. It was so
lame. Goddamn cheap.
It's cheap. It's lame. It's, I know they, oh, goddamn it. Okay. So they want to avoid the problematic nature of Ming. Mm-hmm. They overcorrect and make him a blonde white guy with no mustache. And his whole attitude, I'm like, they should call this guy Ming the Bureaucratic rather than Ming the Merciless. He was just not. Ming the Merciless. Eric Johnson maybe did too good of a job of making me dislike him on Smallville. So when I still thought of him as Whitney when he's playing Flash, I'm like, oh, it's that guy I hated on Smallville. Because he's the rival. He's Clark's rival on Smallville.
Okay.
And he's kind of a dick. He softens up by the time he leaves the show at the end of the first season. I won't go into that whole thing. I just recently rewatched that whole season because of someone else's podcast, because Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum, stars of Smallville, are going through the series and rewatching it. So anyway, I did not rewatch it just now for this podcast because
you already knew how bad it was.
Yes. Cause I already knew how bad it was. Folks, if you don't, you can act, if you care to watch this, it's on Crackle for some reason. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I actually own the DVD because it was only either because it was only $9 or because I asked for it and it was in my stocking. I can't remember. I think it was in my Christmas stocking because I'm a completist, because I'm a collector and I'm a completist. And I never did watch the whole thing. And I'm like, one of these days I got to watch this whole series. So someday I still will. But part of the many problems with this show is that rather than Mongo's attacking and they go to confront the attack. Somebody's invented portal to Zarkov, I guess, has invented portal technology, transporting technology of some kind. So people are transporting back between Earth and Mongo. And Ming is, I can't even remember what he's trying to do, but is Flash's father on Mongo? I can't remember. But he comes back to home base on Earth every episode. He's not stuck on Mongo. And Mongo's not an immediate threat. It's just sort of an ongoing, hey, there's this thing that maybe is happening. There's this bad guy in space who's kind of maybe trying to infiltrate Earth. But there's not any immediate, you know, the moon's going to crash into Earth in 17 hours. There's no ticking time clock. There's no urgency. There's also no... Partly Flash wants to defeat Ming to protect Earth, but also he needs to defeat Ming to if he ever wants to get home in most versions.
Mm-hmm.
In this version, he fucking goes home every week because he's just jumping. People are jumping back and forth between these portals. And so also the urgency for him to do something about the situation for both selfless and selfish reasons is not there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just kind of it's just lame. It's just lame all over. And it was such a disappointment. And yeah, I have as of yet not finished watching this series.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's like, it's pretty bad. And then Dale is like even married to someone else. Like it's just awkward between them, which is like, yeah, what the hell? Like I just really hated it. This is probably, this is my least favorite. And then it goes the 1954 and then the 90s and then everything else. And then the movie is my favorite.
So in the original and in the 80s version, there is this sort of, Dale and Flash are instantly in love. Love at first sight. They're just a couple from the moment they meet. And although there's other women throwing themselves at Flash, it's going to be Dale and Flash. So that's a little unrealistic, but they're working on movie time. You know, romances are accelerated when you're living on movie time.
Sure.
But both the 90s cartoon and this TV version, again, overcompensate by the cartoon girl doesn't really like Flash, thinks he's kind of a douche. And in this one, well, Dale maybe likes Flash, maybe doesn't, but she's already married or engaged or whatever.
Married.
She's actually straight up married. She's married to someone. There's an obstacle. Not only are they not instantly in love, but there's a freaking obstacle in the way. And I don't know where that, I don't know if her husband, I haven't watched the whole show. I don't know what's up. If they get together because she gets divorced or he gets killed or what the hell happens.
Don't care. If you know out there, audience, please let us know so we don't have to fucking watch it.
They overcorrect. So our final item, there is in development an upcoming Flash Gordon project.
What?
Directed by, wait for it, Taika Waititi.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, God damn it. He directed Thor Ragnarok, Thor Love and Thunder, one of the co-creators of What We Do in the Shadows.
Very cool.
Directed Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, I love all that.
He's done a lot. He's on Our Flag is Death. I think he might be one of the producers on it, but he is in it. He's done a lot. He's very hot right now. He was supposedly developing with Disney, I think. He was developing an animated version of Flash Gordon. Then that was reported to have been scrapped. And now the latest report from just last year is that, no, it's still going forward, but as a live action project.
Wow.
So it's not filming yet or anything. It hasn't been cast. Who knows? It could get stuck in development hell. It might never happen. But right now, it's on the list. It's on Taika's to-do list.
Yowza.
It should be awesome. If anything can top the 1980s version, this will be it. It should be at least as good. It might be better. Who knows? We'll see.
Yay.
So, Honeybee, your general feelings about Flash Gordon in general, having no previous experience other than the movie Ted?
5 stars from me. Flash Gordon gets 5 stars from me. Love it.
Yes.
Absolutely love it.
Flash Gordon in general as an all-over property, intellectual property, is 5 stars from me as well. One of my favorite things. As I mentioned, I have the role-playing game. I have actually played it. It has not just sat on my shelf to look pretty like some of the role-playing games I get because there's too many games and not enough time. It's a great product. If you like role-playing games, Savage Worlds of Flash Gordon from Pinnacle Entertainment. It's called Savage World of Flash Gordon because it uses the Savage Worlds game system.
Nice.
It's one of those game systems that you can use in a lot of different settings. They've gotten licenses for various intellectual properties, and Flash Gordon's one of them. And it's beautiful. Just as a product, it's fucking beautiful.
Hell yeah.
But yes, I absolutely love Flash Gordon. We've been talking almost 2 hours about Flash Gordon, so it's time to wrap it up. If you are hearing this, that means you are one of our patrons. That means we actually got some patrons and actually started the Patreon. So thank you so much for being here. Patreon exclusive, the next song in the lyrics is The Invisible Man.
Yay.
At this juncture, we plan on putting one of these out per month. If we get more patrons, we'll add more things. And we will eventually have other... It won't take us too long to get through the lyrics of this song, so we will choose other things to talk about.
Yeah, if there's something that you would like us to talk about, let us know.
We're absolutely open to suggestions from the patrons. Thank you for joining us. I have been Precious D.
And I have been Honeybee.
Remember to keep calm and seek shelter in basements.
And please don't misuse science.
We won't see you, but you will hear us next time on your Patreon exclusive episode of Monster Movie Fun Time Go.
Wow. Flash.
You've been listening to Monster Movie Fun Time Go. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review us on your podcasting platform of choice. Our theme song is by the Texicato Folk Rock Punk featuring Lita Lopez. You can support the show, find links to our social media, and even leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/mmftg.